But right now, we're going to talk with the Minister for European Affairs and Minister for State with European Affairs and Defence, Jennifer Carroll McNeill. Minister, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Very good. I want to talk to you a little bit about, I suppose, what's happening in Europe with regards to regulation in a moment. But from the point of view of two separate issues that have arisen over the last number of days, and one particularly is the increase in our population and the need to plan for population growth in the way it is growing here in this country. We have a strong economy. People want to come here to live and work, and they are coming here to live and work. We're seeing increases. And at the same time, we need to plan for those increases. And I think it's fair to say on any objective level that governments over the past 20, 30 years have failed to plan for population growth. And that's why we're seeing the problems we're seeing in housing and other bottlenecks in the economy. What can you tell us about what we're doing now, what your government is doing now to get ready and try and fix those problems?
Well, I think one of the most important things that we have done in the last 5 years was the rural broadband rollout, which gives people in Kerry new global opportunities. 5 years ago, we faced enormous opposition and criticism for deciding to make that investment, but it's been absolutely essential for people building more connected lives and taking part in global companies and just living a better lifestyle in Kerry and everywhere else. I think the Munster Technological University is a really big step forward for the region, and all of these are big infrastructure investments, but we need an awful lot more. You know, we need to develop, of course, we need to continue to develop housing. We continue to invest in health. Our health budget has doubled in the last 10 years, recruited many, many more doctors and nurses, but it's not enough for a growing population, and we need to continue to invest. That's why Simon Harris is looking to the future and wants to have a Department of Infrastructure that is going to focus on, when the government puts money behind projects, to make sure they get done, whether it's making sure, for example, the N22 Cork-Kerry Road did get done, but we need more, and to make sure that money allocated is money spent, that we see the benefit of our investment in real infrastructure development. And we have a major focus on that, because you're right, population has grown, and that's a good thing, but we need to match and exceed that with our own infrastructure development.
Can we do that, though? Are we doing that? Interesting column by Senator Michael McDowell in the paper this morning, where he says back in the 19th century, we were better at infrastructure projects than we are now. He talks about the time span for a major project that Dublin needs. That's the Shannon Pipeline project, saying it'll take 15 to 20 years from conception to completion, and that's if all goes well. It just takes us too long to get things done in this country.
On some occasions, and on others, they get done quite quickly. So, for example, I'm very excited to see planning going ahead and the progress for an offshore wind farm in my own area in Dunleary, which is a major infrastructure development. Of course, rural broadband, I must check back and see what Michael McDowell, how supportive he was of that project in 2019. It was a major electoral issue in the local elections at that time, very significant criticism. The government went against civil service advice to make sure that that investment was made, and we are seeing the benefits of that. Heather Humphreys has put money into every town and village across Ireland, and these are just as important as the major projects. Revitalising community halls, revitalising town centres, this is bringing life back in a different way, in a new way, in a forward-looking way to rural Ireland, and all of those things have to happen together. But can we get better at it? Yes, of course, and that's what we want to do.
Yeah, and that underlined again, and notwithstanding what you're saying about those projects, there's this issue in Killarney. We've been talking about all this week. The traffic is particularly bad. It's been very bad this summer, worse than ever, according to Killarney Chamber. And they're looking for a bypass, and have been for quite a number of years. No route selected yet. Could be 10 years before it happens, yet the gridlock
is
here now.
Is that an example of failing to plan, I should say. I know Brendan Griffin has done so much work on that. But, you know, I was reading Michael McDowell's article today about the 19th century, and what I was thinking was, you know, there was little or no labour protection. There were no employee rights. There were no property rights. It's a very, very different time. And I think that article, as interesting as it is, just doesn't reflect the reality of workers'
rights. Does he have a point, though, on the planning system alone, Minister? I mean, the number of projects that have been delayed, the length of time it takes. There's a power plant, which is planned for Tarbert, which has been delayed again because Bord Pleanála hasn't met its own revised deadline because they have such a backlog. That's, I suppose, an example of what he's talking about.
There's certainly a balance there. There's certainly a balance in, so we have changed the planning rules so that, for example, I in Dunleary can't object to something in Kerry, because those sorts of spurious objections have been slowing things down. And at the same time, we have to protect people's legitimate right to make objections where something directly impacts them, where it's local and where it impacts them. But our planning system has been beset by delay, by spurious objections instead of legitimate ones, and we have to revise that to make sure that we are delivering critical infrastructure projects for the people of Ireland, and that they're not stuck in the courts, and that it's not lawyers making money out of planning delays, and that it's the people of Ireland that are benefiting. So we've made those changes in the planning laws, and they have to be implemented. We always have more work to do, there's no question, but I look at rural broadband in particular, I look at investment in towns right across Kerry, right across Munster, and see the benefit of different types of investment happening at the same time, and wanting to do so very much more, and being fortunate that we have public finances where we have money in money to spend on capital projects, which by God we didn't have 10 years ago, and now we do. But that money has to be spent, and spent efficiently and spent quickly. No point having it and not spending it for the benefit of the people of Ireland. That's what we're trying to do, and we really are going hard at it and trying to change the things that slow things down while respecting people's individual rights, their property rights and workers' rights. And so a bit of reality to all of that, and there's always more to be done and always more to go, and I'm excited to see that happening.
Okay, more to be done on a European level as well. The next session of European Parliament is underway the 16th of September. The Dáil is back on the 18th of September. What's the main focus for you in relation to working with Europe in the limited amount of time you may have left there pending an election?
Look, our focus always in Europe for Ireland is keeping Ireland at the heart of the single market, so that companies like Fexco can continue to attract talent to Kerry, so that we can export quickly into a market of 500 million people. These are the really important things to Ireland, to be at the centre of Europe. But one of the things that I really want to happen for people in Kerry is I want children, graduates from Kerry, to get really good, really well-paid jobs in Europe. There's about 900 jobs coming up in a competition in the next 12 months, and there'll be 300,000 European people going for them. I want people from Munster getting those jobs. The starting salary for a graduate is about €92,000, plus all of the benefits of living in Brussels, the health insurance, etc., that go with one of those jobs. And it's a fiercely competitive system to get in, but the Irish government wants to help Irish people to get those jobs. So we're going to put interview training behind them. We're going to put exam preparation behind them. If you go on the website, ireland.ie/EU jobs, we want to help Irish graduates to get these jobs, because it helps, first of all, they're brilliant jobs, but second of all, it helps Ireland to have Irish people with an affinity for Ireland there doing incredibly interesting work, whether it's in agriculture, whether it's in veterinary, whether it's in aviation, engineering. There's so many. You don't just have to be a lawyer, you don't just have to be a linguist, and don't forget that Irish people already have two languages, because Irish is a second European language. So, you know, you might also have French, you might also have Spanish, but we have that inherent advantage already. But we're not meeting, we have more jobs available for Irish people than we're filling. We're down on our numbers, and that's bad for Ireland, but it's bad for individuals who might want to build a career, do really interesting work, and, you know, frankly, get paid quite a lot of money to do it. And I want to see people from Munster applying. If you're listening to this and your son or daughter is coming out of college, it's CAO time. It's time to be thinking about these things generally as everyone goes back to school. Maybe if you're a mid-career professional, you've been working for a while and you're looking for something different, look at ireland.ie, EU jobs. We want Irish people to get these great jobs.
And this is an option for you definitely to consider in relation to trying to get more work there. Can I ask you briefly just on the issue of EU regulation, because it is with Europe at the moment, and we see intensive lobbying by big tech companies in relation to rules and regulations around what goes online and harmful content. What's your view on what needs to be done? Your Taoiseach, strong words from him over the last number of weeks that the era of self-regulation is over. A lot of these companies are headquartered here in Ireland. How quickly do we need to regulate them through Commission and
Man? I was speaking to Google about that this weekend, and indeed, you know, it's very important, as Ireland is the centre of tech in Europe, that we have a very strong view on this. And there's great benefits to things like AI. We can process screens, medical screens, much more quickly and identify problems much more quickly. But by God, are there big threats as well. And we have to make sure that people are protected. We do that very effectively, collectively, as a European bloc. But we need to do it quickly. And the Irish government has a very clear view in relation to this. This isn't a matter for companies to decide for themselves. There is a strong role for the state and for the European.
That's what they want. They're saying we'll take care of it. Or we are doing our best, but clearly they're not.
And I'm saying that that's not what's going to happen, that there is a very strong regulation, that actually Europe is leaders in that in different ways. Like all the GDPR stuff that happens globally, that came from Europe. That came from the protection of people's individual privacy. That came from Europe. And we will drive digital focus with the benefits of AI, and there's loads, let's be honest about it, but to protect individuals, and in particular protect children and protect them from the very, very harmful effects of social media. So we have an awful lot of work to do, but we're always trying to strike that balance, and Europe got it right compared to everyone else on personal rights and GDPR, and we will do everything we can to make sure that we get it right on this as well.
Okay, Minister, you're Minister for State Department of Defence as well. Concerning story about reports that an airline flew weapons to Israel through Irish airspace. It's being investigated by the Department of Transport. There have been calls out of this, renewed calls, that there should be a referendum, which if passed would enshrine Ireland's neutrality in the Constitution, that we need to get real about our neutrality. What's your response?
Well, we are neutral. We are not militarily aligned. We're not politically neutral. Like, for example, we're very clearly standing with Ukraine against the illegal invasion by Russia. We very clearly stand with democratic states, and we're not politically neutral in that way, but we are not part of a military alliance. We do need to be able to defend our own sovereign territory, and there's nothing incompatible between being militarily neutral and able to monitor our own sea and airspace and have the equipment that our great defence forces need to defend our territory. And that is something that we need to take very seriously as time goes on. I did see those media reports, and of course we take them seriously, but it's really important that people know that militarily neutral means militarily neutral, and you are not allowed to fly a civil aircraft over in our airspace carrying munitions. That you have to apply for an exemption. We have had no applications for any such exemption, either in 2024 or in 2023, either for any civil or military planes of that kind. So it's really important to say that. So we see the media reports, and they are being investigated. I'm more than happy to come back and discuss it with you again when we get the facts.
When you get more facts in relation
really,
to what it is.
Really important.
Do we need to increase defence spending in order to police our skies and our seas much better?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We need to increase our defence spending. We need more people to come into our defence forces. And can I tell you, anybody considering their CAO today, if you're a school leaver, you can come into the defence forces and earn €39,000 starting off in our defence forces, going up to €42,000 after your training. As a school leaver, as a graduate, it's even higher. And we want people to come into the Navy. We want them to come into the Army, to the Air Corps. We want to spend money on people's salaries. We are increasing those salaries. We want to spend more on good accommodation. We want to spend more on equipment, materials. We want to spend more on defending our sovereign state. What is the point of having a state if you can't defend it? And we have this huge sea area, and our sovereignty is important to us, and our sovereignty means defending our sovereignty. And I take that very seriously, and the government takes that very seriously, and we absolutely need to increase our defence spending. Now, we're doing it, but we're going to need to do an awful lot more of it. So we've increased from about 1.2 billion to about 1.5 billion is what we're going to be spending, but we're going to need to go further in terms of recruitment. We're going to need more people in our defence forces. But anybody listening, and maybe they're listening themselves, or maybe they have a son or daughter and they're thinking about CAO, maybe college is not for them, come to the defence forces, come and work with us, and there's an opportunity to do college through the defence forces and to be paid while you're doing it. And we want to invest in Irish people coming into the defence forces. So please, please, please consider it.
Okay, Minister, final question for you. I know you're not going to talk about or give away what might be in the budget in relation to cost of living measures that are there from October. We're seeing a €100 increase in the network charge levy on electricity bills at a time when we're heading in to winter from the 1st of October. Concerns about gas prices increasing with more trouble in Ukraine and Russia. What can you say about what will be done or what should be done to try and deal with these cost increases?
What I can say is that over the last 5 years, we've tried to meet every challenge that Irish people have had, whether it's employers keeping their staff through COVID, whether it's people losing their jobs through COVID, whether it's the energy support grants that we've given at different stages. We've tried to meet the challenges of the day without banking those spending into the public finances forever and ever, which wouldn't be sustainable, and you'd be criticising me for as well. So yeah, we are looking at the challenges of the day, and we will always try to meet the needs of the Irish people there and then. Now, we've also a very strong focus on reducing personal tax, because people should have more money to be able to spend themselves. We're trying to reduce people's costs through free school books. I know Heather Humphreys is rolling out the hot school meals programme in Kerry. That again reduces costs. God, you know, you're putting the packed lunch together every day and the school books. It's such an expensive time of year, and the government is trying to step in and meet those costs and school books and lunches and try to just reduce the cost of living in different ways. But we also look at those direct transfers, and we look at that in the budget, but we try to come at it from every angle. And I hope people in Kerry will have seen the benefit of the free school books and the reduced lunches as they go back to school now in these really, God, most expensive weeks of the year if you're a parent with school going children.
Okay, Minister, listen, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you for talking to us in the programme this morning. That's Minister Jennifer Carol McNeill, Minister for State Responsibility for EU Affairs and Defence, talking about EU jobs, but talking about the government and what it's doing, what its plans are as well. If you have a view on what she had to say, we want to hear from you on the programme.